We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale, coming at you guys from the crib, as we've been doing lately. But with me, I've had my new job for like a month now. I have to change yours to ESPN's old man, Andreas Hale, official in the building. If you guys don't know, the old man is part of the combat squad at ESPN. He's timed this clever just perfectly for when I leave. He joins because he gets enough of me every damn day doing this podcast. So he finally, man, congrats on getting to ESPN. We saw each other. We chilled. UFC 300 fight week was your first event. How was it? How was the first one?
I felt like the last one. They all feel the same to me. Like that, everybody asked that question. They was like, yo, what's it like? You're at ESPN now. I was like, yo, it's kind of the same. Like it's the fight's a fight, right? But, I mean, the back end's obviously different. Like when you work for a bigger company, you got a lot more help. So it's a lot different than when I was working at Sport News. But yeah, man, this has been something that I've been working on since, not even working on, since I left. Well, since I got let go from the Sport News, I got a call immediately. And one thing led to another. And here we are. Ramondi's going to the end of NFL. Left some big little shoes to fill. You know that man was a size 7.5? You know, he's got tiny feet. Size 7.5 sneaker.
I thought he wore a size 7. So 7.5 is like mind-blowing. Yeah.
But yeah, he leaves a pretty big void in MMA coverage. So I'm stepping in for him. So yeah, it'll be fun. I'll still be doing some boxing and some pro wrestling too. Strangely enough, like now that MMA is my main beat, the Canelo fight, I won't be going to. I'll be focused on this stupid Brazil card.
Wow. No Canelo week for Dre. What is going on? Which is fine
because I hate that fight as it is. But yeah, I'll be on the wonderful Steve Ursig versus the Pantoja fight at UFC 301. Oh boy,
a barn burner of a card.
not a great card. Not a great fight. But that's what happens when you have a banger like UFC 300.
What's the better card, Canelo or that?
Canelo's better.
Tough.
But I think that we still may get more entertaining fights at 301. The return of Jose Aldo, Anthony Smith, as he looks like he's getting close to the end of his career. We may get some like really good fights at Brazil. The Brazil crowd is rowdy and fun as well. I'm not – that Canelo card is just – I don't care about the Munguia fight. I don't. We'll get to that when we do our boxing show. I don't care at all. I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's different because I care and – based on I want to see Canelo look good and I want to see who Canelo fights next. So it has ramifications, but it's a glorified sparring match.
Yeah, unless he's falling completely off the bridge and he's just not good anymore. But
I don't know. Nah, it's not that far. Not I mean Munguia far.
I don't think so.
Not yet. So yeah, UFC has a little less question marks. You mentioned the return of Jose Aldo, but all of this because this past week, UFC 300 was stacked on paper and arguably even better in person. And I was critical of it because I didn't think the main event was UFC 300 main event worthy. And I think I still may feel that way, to be honest. Like, I think that's still the case. But with that being said, what was there delivered. If we would have had John on the top of the card, John Stipe, chef's kiss, all-time great card.
It didn't even need Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill. This card was loaded.
It needed
absolutely. This card was absolutely loaded. It's there from top to bottom. It's the best card they ever put together. From the prelims, the early prelims. Like, you start a fight card with Cody Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo. Like, that's ridiculous. Two former champions to start off a card, and it never really let up. You know. We knew the fights that weren't going to be terribly thrilling. Aljo and Calvin Kattar was never going to be a thrilling fight. Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, was fine, but nobody expected too much of that. But everything else delivered. Everything else delivered. And, I mean, where else to start? The fight that should have been the main event. If there was ever an excuse for this BMF title, the main event over a regular title, it was this particular fight.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, first of all, I'm sorry, Max Holloway. I counted you out. I think a lot of this community said, I don't know about Max. The last time he fought Dustin Poirier didn't look great. He took a lot of punishment in that fight. Gaethje, who just beat Poirier, hits harder, has stronger leg kicks, has every advantage to think of against Max. And Max went out there and put his ass through the rinse cycle.
He tried to make it a chess match. He could never get it into a brawl.
I'll say this. When Max broke his nose in the first round, I was kind of like, he's done. Because he couldn't breathe. He made it very clear he couldn't breathe. Where I was sitting at from Octagon side, you could hear his nose crack from that kick. That's how hard it was. And I knew it wasn't going to be the same, but still, this man put on the masterclass of masterclasses. And then we just got to get right to it. Is this the greatest knockout of all time in the UFC?
No. I mean, it was last second of the fight.
Well, it's a buzzer beater.
Yeah, that it was phenomenal. It's the second best knockout I've ever seen.
What's number one?
You know, nothing's moving number one from my list. It was Conor McGregor knocking out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds with a step back right hand. It was as electrifying as this, if not more, because it happened so fast in a fight that was built up for 2 years to be over in 13 seconds was just the Irish crowd. As great as this crowd was, it was not the Irish crowd in the house for Conor. That's like watching Beatles Mania. Like it was just, it was otherworldly.
That's a fair assessment. And I won't give you too much pushback on that. I will say why. There are three knockouts that come to mind for me. Conor and Jose Aldo, this one, and Yair Rodriguez, Korean Zombie, because I've never seen somebody get knocked out with an up elbow. At the buzzer as well. Same thing. At the end of the fight, it was like 4:58 in the final round. The reason why right now I'm going to be a prisoner of the moment, I'm going to say this is the greatest knockout of all time, because one, nobody saw Max Holloway knocking out Justin Gaethje. Like, nobody saw that.
Yeah.
Nobody. Two, he called the motherfucker to the center of the ring while he was way ahead on the scorecards. He could have done what every other fighter does, throw his hands up, run around the ring. He did the trademark.
That's bang, bro.
Yeah, let's go. That's his thing. 10 seconds left. Meet me in the center of the octagon. Let's see what's up. And that particular moment, because now you're putting yourself in danger. Because Gaethje's that dude. Like, why would you do that? But that's Max Holloway. Not only does he come out of that series unscathed, he delivers like the biggest knockout of his career.
Yeah,
that's absurd. Like that, he was already a Hall of Famer, but now he's like, he lives in infamy. Like, he's a legend. And it's hard to believe that you go, how's it Volkanovski beat that guy three times?
Yeah. That's styles make fights, right? Like, and Volk, the last time, just put hands on Max. Max couldn't do anything. But you look at it, and as soon as Gaethje's nose broke, I'm watching the fight, not as close of a distance as you. It was It was crazy. I was back up in the media section. It's a bird eye view from up there. I'm used to being on the octagon. Oh, how things change. No, but I liked the view. I get to see a lot. And immediately after that, you can still tell his nose got broken. I checked the screen, watched the replay. I was like, oh, it's over. Shoot for the takedown. You have a background in wrestling. I understand it's the BMF title. I understand it's what people paid for. I'm sorry. My nose is broken. I can't breathe. Shoot. Shoot for the takedown. Something. He never attempted it. The leg kicks were cool, but it just wasn't that.
I mean, I don't even know if Justin Gaethje knows what to do after he gets the takedown. Right? Like, I think he gets the takedown. I was like, maybe we'll just stand up. This is what I do. And the leg kicks were effective. Like, Max's leg had a disgusting welt on it.
Yeah.
It was just Max's night. Like, this should have been the main event. It was crazy because when this was the third fight on the card, I was like, that's still the main event. I don't care who's at the top of the card. This is the fight that everybody wants to see. Max got a hero's welcome. Like, everybody loves Justin Gaethje. Like, you knew what this was. Then poor Yan Jianan and Zhang Weili having to follow this shit. Like, are you serious?
It was Sean Taker being in the middle of a car.
or it was Rock Hogan and then having to follow with Triple H and Jericho at WrestleMania 17. It was so, oh my God. Like, for one, all the night, I was Octagon side for Aldo McGregor, and I remember how that felt. This felt different because it was one of those, Max is winning. Oh, that's what's up. He's going to the center of the Octagon. He's doing the Max thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He fucking knocked him out? That's what it was like when it happened. It was like, wait, hold on. Hold on. They're supposed to just stand and bang. The bell's supposed to sound. They're going to hug each other and go back to their corners. He killed that man. He killed that man and left him flat on his face in the Octagon. That was absurd. Again, if you're Jan and Weili, you're like, fuck, I don't. What do we do now?
Which is crazy because that was almost a finish. It should have been a finish. They followed it up perfectly fine. Yeah. And Weili choked her ass out first round at the buzzer to the point she had to get woken up. Yo, shake. And then the ref just looks at her. Weili looks at the ref like, what are we going to? And he was like, well, your corner is over there. Woke ass up. They give her some smelling salts. She came right back. It's wild to me. If I'm Weili, I'm like, just rob me of 300K. Her ass was out cold.
She gets choked out. And I think what woke her up was Weili pushing her off of her. It's like, oh shit. Like, if she would have just
laid there. Weili should have just laid there.
If she would have just laid out, Jan was done. But then in the second round, Weili takes her back, flattens her out, hits her with like 700 hammer fists. And I'm like, any other ref would have stopped this fight. It keeps going. Now in the third round, I'm going, Willie's gassed. She's blown her gas tank twice.
Jan drops her twice in the third round.
I was like, this sucks. Like, this sucks. Like, she's finished this woman twice in one fight. She got a TKO and a submission in the same fight. And they still had to fight another three rounds. And she won. It is what it is. I mean, it was just... Yeah, that fight could have ended quicker. I felt bad for everyone on the East Coast because it was a long night. And like, we're going to talk about the ramifications of all of these fights because this shook up the rankings terribly. Yeah. Then the main event happens. And I think, is it my first time? No, I've seen Platon entries before. But just this one was really menacing.
Yeah.
That walkout, and he shoots the arrow and Jamal Hill catches it and breaks it. I said, shit. This is like... So many people all week started going the Jamal Hill way, and I was like, nah. Now, I was already wrong with Max Holloway, so I had to get one right when it came to these title fights, even though I picked Weili Zhang. But I was like, nah, Alex Pereira is too good of a striker. He's just too good. Like, Jamal Hill doesn't have great defense. The only way Alex gets caught is if he's reckless, but he's not. Jamal's not nearly as precise as Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
So I was a concern. The way this fight went out is what blew my mind because everybody knows Alex gets kicked in the dick. Herb Dean starts walking over. He don't even look at Herb. He's
just
like,
give him the hand.
He gave him the hand. 5 seconds later, he lands a bomb on Jamal Hill. Jamal's face when he hits the canvas is like, oh shit. And Alex's face never changes through that whole sequence. And he finishes him. Like that, then I was like, all right, this is fine for the main event. Because like when that happened, was this was crazy. Like, you know,
and the celebration
oh,
just
oh the cel-
yeah, come who on, who knew Alex was a TikTok fan?
Yeah,
like how you take yo, he did what?
And he I said didn't... my man talked trash, so I had to do something. My God.
He hit him with the celly. Oh my God, it was so incredible. And yeah, it's these things that the UFC needs, this personality. And to Jamal Hill's credit, he came back from a very tough injury that I think he sustained in like the charity basketball game for the UFC.
Yes. Yeah. She's in the video.
Yeah. Torn Achilles. Yeah. Ridiculous. On top of the world. Tears his Achilles. Not to say he beats Alex regardless, but it's one of those things where it's just like, yo, do you want to take a tune up? Do you want to get ready? Like, make sure your body's good. He jumped right back into deep waters and headlined a 100 numbered card. Yes. Like, not everyone can say they did that. So he took the shot, took the opportunity. He was outclassed on this night because I don't know how fresh he was. This is not the guy you fight after a major injury at all. So Alex did what he had to do, looked great, called for a shot at heavyweight, which I'm sure we'll go through, like what's the best possibilities. But everyone on this card, and we can go down the list, everyone on this card has like multiple options.
Yeah.
Because Charles Oliveira goes through, loses a close one. Sarukian now shoots up to, I think, number one or two in the lightweight division.
He's number one.
So, number one contender? I didn't even see the rankings today. So, it's one of those things, he's number one contender, and it's like, that's cool, I guess, because that title fight is coming up, which we got. We'll talk about Dana. We know the lightweight title fight there, but you have a guy like Max Holloway, who's just like, bro, if I wanted to, I'm skipping you.
So, Max Holloway has three options. Go back down and fight Ilia Topuria. Stay at lightweight where he looked fantastic. If I hit the winner of Islam Makhachev and Dustin Poirier. Or defend the BMF title.
Yep.
Like, that's the third option that he has. He has three options that will make him a ton of money.
In which he called out Connor for that title.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
What? That does numbers.
Like why? There's so much going on with all these fighters, but I just want to go back to Sarukian and Oliveira. That's the tightest guillotine since Volkanovski, Brian Ortega.
Charles, I'd argue Oliveira, it's tighter. I don't know how he got it. And he was dry. It was hurting dry.
Look, he got out of it. He got out of getting finished twice in the same fight. At the very beginning and the very end.
Yeah.
Sarukian's a dog. Sarukian's a guy that, if anybody remembers, made his UFC debut against Islam Makhachev on relatively short notice and gave Islam his toughest test to date.
Yep.
In his first fight. Well, toughest test in the UFC because Islam obviously lost. But
I think that loss was in the UFC. Weren't we there for that?
I don't remember.
Or is that some random card? I swear to God, we were in the... Yeah, I think we were watching it for some reason. Because I was like, oh, shit. He got caught in the guard and it was a wrap.
But Sarukian, who was getting booed, punched the fan. Like, there was a lot going on with Sarukian that night. Like, the crowd hates his guts, and I don't even understand why. I do, but they don't like Armenian, Russian dude. They don't like any of that shit. Muslims, they hate them all. They booed Bilal Muhammad and they put him on the screen. Fucking UFC fans. Willie Zhang said, come to China, I'll feed you. They booed that shit, too. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Like, they don't like good food.
Right.
She was like, you so ain't going hospitable.
Like, you dickheads are going to Panda Express after this. I'm like, shut up. But Armand Sarukian wins, and I wrote this story yesterday. He goes backstage, and Hunter Campbell's like, hey, you want to fight Islam Makhachev in 7 weeks? He's like, bro, I just got out of the octagon. No. Like,
not like it was an easy fight. Like, I didn't sub him or knock him out in the first.
Right. Usually you get an 8-week training camp, and off of a fight, you get at least a 2-week rest. That's 10 weeks. Hunter's like, you can have the fight if you want it. And that's the reason why the Poirier fight got announced, because Sarukian said no. And the same with the case if Oliveira would have won. That's the direction that it went. But Sarukian knows now that he's getting the next crack at the title, regardless of who it is. So I'm glad he said no. I'm glad he directly after a fight where he almost got choked out twice, I'm glad he was like, nah, bro, chill. I'm going to stay at home. I'm gonna watch the fight. 302 is on June 1st. And Islam says he's want to fight Charlie Cicero. I'll see him in the fall.
Yeah, like, fall. You know they're going back to Saudi.
Yeah, wherever you're going, I'm there.
Or Riyadh, wherever they have that October joint every year. Like, I'll just see him in October.
Yeah, I'll see him when I see him. It's going to happen. But Sarukian put on one of those performances because I didn't know who was going to win that fight. But when Oliveira put in that guillotine, I was like, damn, like, that's a wrap. You don't get out of those. Him and Brian Ortega have two of the tightest guillotines in the UFC. And Sarukian powered out of that shit. Yeah. And then proceeded to, like, win the round, swept him, landed bombs with it from the with the elbows, and then got himself caught up again in the fifth round and was like, all right, I can get through this again too.
Sarukian waited it out.
He's a dog, man. He's a dog. And yeah, he deserves the title opportunity. I think Max is going to fight Ilya. He's made all the indications that that's the route he's going to go.
Smart and
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with that. You want to get that title back that you lost, go get it. Kayla Harrison, though. Bruh.
Kind of fucked up. You skipped right over Bo Nickel, but that's fine.
Well, I'll get to Bo Nickel because there's really nothing to talk about here. But
Kayla Harrison.
So we got to talk about Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic too, and the madness that Jiří is as well. But the reason why I'm bringing up Kayla is because I start thinking about elbows. So media day, I see Kayla. I'm following Mark Ramondi around. I meet Kayla, and I'm there with Ali. And I'm looking at her, and it's Thursday. And I'm like, she's still pretty huge, right? Like, she's pretty big. And she's sitting in the chair getting a little makeup done. And I'm like, I'm just listening to her talk to Mark. And she's like, bro, I can't wait to use elbows. 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 That's all she talked about, is how much she couldn't wait to use elbows. In my mind, all I'm thinking is, I can't wait for you to hit the scale. Because how are you going to make weight? Friday, she hits the scale. I'm like, this woman's dead.
She looked rough in a day.
And that's 136. Whatever she lost that day, she said after the fight, because she looked like she gained two weight classes on Saturday, she walked in the octagon. She said she weighed 160 with her clothes on. She gained like 20 pounds at least overnight. And she looked so big and so strong that I was like, uh-oh. For me, we didn't even talk about it because we didn't have the show last week. Holly was a live dog in this fight because I figured if Kayla's weight killed her, and if for some reason she couldn't get her hands on Holly, Holly likes women that come at her. That's her thing. Like, she counter-strikes. So Kayla being like a 4-1 favorite, I was like, if you got some money, throw it on Kayla. I mean, throw it on Holly because of her counter-striking. Then the fight happens. First of all, I don't know what Holly Holm was thinking, trying to go for a takedown. And then the way that Kayla just ragdolled this woman, like she didn't exist. And then destroyed her with elbows. Like, this is good luck, women's bantamweight division. Good luck. Good. Just hand the title over.
Why did she run and clinch? Like,
I don't know.
Immediately just went chest to chest. I was like, you didn't do this against Ronda. The entire course of history would have changed if you did this against Ronda.
Because Ronda would have subbed you.
Easy. Judah flipped her, subbed her, night over. And I'm like, why would you change that? It made no sense. And then as soon as Kayla felt like that strength, because it still got to the second round. So Holly had a chance to just redo the game plan. And at this point, Kayla was like, oh, you ain't got shit for me.
No, she ran in and she launched her. Like, she just grabbed her and like chucked her. And I was like, man. And immediately I'm like, yo, if Raquel Pennington and Julian, they don't want this smoke.
No.
Don't even act like you want the smoke. Just go ahead and say, you need another fight before you get a title opportunity. Do anything you can to stay away from this woman.
It looks like somebody wants that smoke, though.
Well, it looks like Amanda Nunes does want the smoke, but she's going to wait till she gets her hands on that title first.
100%. That payday? Oh, they're headlining.
That is a super fight. That is a super fight. That is a massive pay-per-view. Because all you got to do is sit back. Kayla's going to fight. I doubt she fights again. I think she goes right into a title fight. Raquel Pennington, there was like some lingering injury, which means that her Juliana, I remember I asked Juliana when we had her on MMA Today that what about the sphere? And she was like, maybe sooner than that. So somewhere in August, this fight's going to happen. And Kayla's got to start a weight cut earlier, right? Like, she's got to get started a lower weight, which is
hard. That 1 pound is a mofo.
It is. She got to make it. She got to get to it. But the winner of Juliana and Raquel Pennington fighting Kayla Harrison early next year, then Amanda Nunes comes out. Oh, that's huge. I don't see anybody beating Kayla Harrison. Not in this division. Not as it stands. Amanda would be the one person.
Yeah.
But, bruh, good luck.
I mean, there's some people maybe that can move up for 135 or, excuse me, 125 that
it's
have
too
like,
small.
But they got hands. So that it's like,
bruh,
stay away, duck and dodge.
Valentina Shevchenko's, if she was considering it, she's probably not doing it now because she's got business handled with Alexa Grasso. Grasso might have considered it, but you look at Kayla Harrison was gigantic in the octagon.
Huge.
Like her arms and her lats. Like, yo, I was just like, this don't make any damn sense. And then that, those elbows, like she couldn't use them in the PFL. Now she can use them here. She was abusing Holly with those elbows.
Looked like a kid in a candy store. Oh, just smiling, throwing bowls.
She had a good time. So we know what's up with Kayla. Yuri and Alexander Rakic. Look, Rakic's coming back from that injury. Yuri, like, don't disrespect my samurai. Fuck you, right?
Motherfucker's a samurai. I saw him after the ESPN event. I was going to the garage because, a lady showed up. So I was grabbing the wife. I was like, yo, I'm going to show you where we are. So she was coming down those escalators from New York. Because I was like, yo, park there. Dre always parks there. It's easy. So she's coming down and I'm walking towards the escalators to meet her. And there's no one in that little area with the tall lady sculpture. Nobody except for him. And he's just chilling, just staring into oblivion. And I walk by and I just like nod at him. He politely nods at me. I keep it moving. And then I get Elena and I'm walking back and I'm like, yeah, well, that's like Yuri. He's the former UFC champion. And then she's like, oh, why don't you like talk to him? Ask him a question. I was like, excuse me?
I don't leave that man alone.
No. I was like, no, he's in some whole different Zen state. Like, nah, I can't. There was like a trickling little water fountain and stuff. He wasn't in Vegas. Like his mind was somewhere else. I promise you, gone to the world, deep in thought. I saw that, walked back in. I was like, put the house on. He's not losing. Just watching, right. I was like, not losing. Put everything on.
And Alexander Rakic is really good. Started out like amazing. Like he was killing Yuri's legs, killing them. And Yuri's like, that's what's up. Kept moving forward. I'm like, there's something wrong with this guy, man. He ain't going to stop. He's just not going to stop coming forward. Caught him. Started just was breaking him down. It was like pressure.
Yeah.
Like Yuri Prochazka, anybody who thinks that Yuri isn't done and could challenge for the light heavyweight title again, they're nuts. After this performance, I'm convinced that that wasn't the right Yuri we saw against Alex Pereira. He's kind of alluded to it, but he won't say anything because he doesn't want to make excuses. But you could tell something wasn't right with him that night.
Sure, but he took a lot of punches from Rakic. A lot. Clean to the face. His hands were down the whole time. He'd eat it and keep walking forward. The difference is you can't eat those against Alex.
No, you can't. You can't. Like
I would expect the same result. Because if you're not going to block and evade Alex, like Stylebender did for as long as he could and make it a chess match, if you're just going to go blow for blow, it's a tough matchup to win.
No, it is tough. I just think Yuri is, I don't know who at light heavyweight. I think him and Khalil Roundtree is a really fun fight, right? Khalil Roundtree is on fire right now.
Yeah, he starches Khalil.
Probably, yeah, but I like to see it, though, because still, like you said, Yuri gets hit, and Khalil has a lot of one-hitter-quitter in him, right? And I like to see Yuri have to deal with that, but that was one of those performances on the card where, like, fans were like, yo, bro, like, he's still coming. And Rakic is, like, feeling good. Leg kick, calf kick, right hand, circles off, left hand. Oh, this fool can't catch me.
Yeah,
Yuri's like, I'm just going to walk you down. Eventually, you're going to stop punching and kicking me, and then I'm just going to tear your ass apart.
Crazy.
Yuri Prochazka.
That's the only game plan he needed. Work to perfection.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And then Diego Lopez, this kid's not going to be a star. Like, it's, I don't know who he fights next because he's not obviously close to a title shot, in my opinion, even though he called out the champ. Put him in Mexico, please.
Oh, that he's fighting at the Sphere. Please. He has to fight at the Sphere.
Please.
This dude, he loses his first fight. He was on Dana White's Contender Series and loses there. He goes back to the regional scene, wins two fights, comes to the UFC, loses a fight of the night, and then proceeds to wreck the next three opponents. All of those fights ended between a minute and 28 and a minute and 37 seconds. He is a menace. And what he did to Sadiq was just, he just rolled in there, uppercut, bomb, put him to sleep. I'm like,
easy.
He's a problem. And he's fun as hell to watch. He's fun as hell to watch.
I got the Bessel Pluma haircut. Like, he knows what he's doing.
He does.
I ain't get my ass whooped by Bessel Pluma, though. Like, what do you mean? I'd have to figure this out. And then Bo Nickel again. Oh, I mean, shout out to Aljo. He won his debut at featherweight. I mean, I don't know who in that division really fucks with him in terms of wrestling.
No, literally nobody. In terms of grappling, nobody. He's big as hell at 45. He was big at 35, but you could tell he was sucking himself down. At 45, I was like, when he got in the octagon, I was like, yeah, he's really big.
Yeah.
Now,
short. I think he looked short in this match, but the shoulders. Yeah.
Stocky, big. It ain't going to be fun to fight him. Like, you have to get rid of him in a hurry standing up, because if he gets his hands on you, you're in trouble. Shout out to Calvin Cater for defending himself. That's all he could do at one point. He was like, yo, this guy's going to get his hands on me. He's going to take me down, and it's not going to be fun. He's not the most fun fight. Like, when they announced $300,000 bonuses, there was a few people that they were like, oh, I ain't getting that shit. And Aljo was one of them. Like, unless he would have just swooped in and did what he did to, like...
Yeah, if he had a twister or something, maybe.
Yeah, some wild submission finish. Like, what he did to Corey Sandhagen. Like, if he does that, he would have maybe been in competition. But it didn't matter. Like, the $300K was not his, but he got the job done. You mentioned Bo Nickel. He was like the biggest favorite on the card. And he gave himself like two thumbs down. He beats Cody Brundage. And I'm just looking at this situation like they are purposefully slow playing Bo Nickel. And they're going to put him on the main card. They're building him like a Deontay Wilder, right? They're building him like not quite the level of Khan, because Cody Brundage isn't completely garbage.
Yeah.
But they're not going to. They're not going to accelerate him up the ladder very quickly. They're going to take their time with him.
No, I see a lot of what they did with Sean O'Malley, where it was just like overmatched, highlight. Okay, we'll give you somebody. He loses, but he blames it on the leg. All right, which now it looks like it was the leg. Whatever. Then soft touch, evenly matched. Okay, you do that. Right to the top. Like, it's going to go from 0 to 100 quick.
He's going to have to beat somebody.
He's not young either. For a prospect, he's not like overly young. It's not like he's 20. Like, you can put him in there. I think he's 28. You can put him in there against somebody with some seasoning.
I mean, the middleweight division is like a little weird right now. Drick is obviously the champ. Strickland's fighting Costa at 302. Whitaker's fighting Chimaev. I mean, who do you put him in there with? Like, do you
If
dare
Costa
put him in?
loses, I'd give him Costa.
He'll get somebody before that, though. So would you like put him in there with somebody like Marvin Vettori? That's a risky fight, right?
Vittori was like, wrestling is really fucking good too.
It is. So it's a risky fight. Even though Bo Nickel looks really good, it's like when I'm looking at Bo, I'm like, I can't figure out the exact path for him at this moment because he's got to fight a top 15 dude soon, right? And you don't start him off high. I think you go around the. He mentioned Anthony Hernandez, so I think Hernandez has a fight booked in the next few weeks. Anthony Hernandez,
That lines
Chris
up then.
Curtis, like those are fights that he should take. If he wipes them out, then yeah, sure, you start moving him towards the title picture. But I really think they're going to slow play this dude.
Yeah, they have Chris Curtis. Let's see, Paul Craig.
Craig's got a fight booked.
301.
Craig is, yeah,
So
and
it lines up if Craig could win.
it's a tough fight, and I don't know.
Not as tough as Anthony Hernandez.
I mean, Paul Craig's submissions are really good. If Bo Nickels finds himself out of position, he could get caught. But
That's with
Bo,
everyone. Like above then, it's Hermanson, Hamzat, fucking Costa, Brendan Allen.
I think Bo will fight a Chris Curtis or an Anthony Hernandez.
I'd put him in there against Brendan Allen right now.
I mean, I'm not saying he can't beat him. I just don't think they're going to race him up that fast. I think
No, I don't think so. But
because
if you told me him versus Jared Cannonier and Cannonier's at four,
it's interesting. I mean, it's
I'd give him
interesting.
a shot.
I
Like,
give Bo Nickel a shot against everybody. The skill, the tools play out. Like, he's got the tools. He just hasn't been out of nowhere past the second round, right? Like,
yeah.
he's got to, if he fights some of the stiffer, like the Marvin Vettoris of the world who never get knocked out, you're going to be in there for a long night. So it's
Yeah.
like, is he conditioned for that? We got to see. But he looked fine against Brundridge, took him down pretty much at ease, got the job done. Whatever. He was on the main card above like all these people, which is crazy, but it just tells you what the UFC thinks of him.
Yeah, I think he gets fast tracked back for 303. Like you put him on a Conor card.
You're probably right about that.
He didn't take any
You're probably right about
damage. You're
that.
not going to stack that card like you stack this. He'll be third fight on the pay-per-view or something for Conor.
That's you're probably right about that. You're
Yeah.
right on.
And it's just like, who do you turn around that quick? Again, when I'm looking at this, and I'm trying to find people who don't have their fight booked, I really, really like the because Vittori's tough, but Cannonier or Brendan Allen, if you're just like fuck it, like if you lose now, we'll go right back to the game plan. It's one loss again. It's that O'Malley, yo, where are you? And they seem to do it a lot of people because like Conor and Poirier hit that spot where it was like, yo, y'all are both really good. We're just gonna see where y'all at, and then
Yeah.
whoever wins this, we're shooting you to the moon. And then the other one, you go back, you come back, and you're still a star. They did it with Cody Garbrandt, who lost on this card. Like Cody, I forgot who he fought. Almeida?
Yeah,
And they
we
were
fought
both,
Almeida. We
yeah,
both
and it
were
was
knocking the shit out of everybody. Yeah.
everyone. And then it was just like, fuck. Like, okay, cool. And they seem to do these heat checks. Rarely is it with someone that's kind of like super veteran, but I just in this division with Khamzat coming, if he was a welterweight, I feel much better because I feel like his skills work out well at welterweight. But Usman might enter into this division. It's not going to get any easier anytime soon. So
No.
pick off one of the older dudes with a name while you're young and spry.
Yeah.
And I would I've seen Cannonier knock people out cold, but I've seen him give a stinker or two.
Yeah,
I would
interesting.
love that matchup. So, but we'll see. They probably won't fast play him that much. But if he was able to do shit like that on a Conor card, that's star building right there. And then the other thing we have to talk about, and this is not like the longest of shows, but we have plenty more MMA to talk about as the weeks go by now that we've kind of covered the pay-per-view.
No, we haven't. We didn't talk about
Oh, we
Justin Turner
didn't.
thinking having the one hitter quitter, and then
Do
come to
you
find out He didn't. And Renato Moicano, Money Moicano, damn
I
near
forgot
cashed
about
out.
that. Yeah. No, that was a damn shame. How you just hit the walk off, stare at him.
And then looked at the referee. He's like,
Ref
why didn't
like,
you stop it?
it's like, what?
What
And
you
then
mean?
Moicano came and worked him in the second ring.
It's like dragged him. Money Moicano is an interesting personality, man. Like, he should have won a post fight. He should have won a performance bonus for his post fight speech because he just didn't give a fuck. Like, he just was cursing,
at
letting it
all.
all go. He just let it all go. And he talked about fighting Paddy Pimblett, Bobby Green, who beat Jim Miller, talked about fighting Paddy Pimblett. Paddy Pimblett's at home. Like, everybody want to fight me. Everybody wants a piece of Paddy.
Yeah.
Paddy's not that good.
No.
I get it. I
That's
get it.
Why they
all
want a
out.
Piece of Paddy.
Hell yeah.
Bobby Green, though, what he did to Jim Miller. And Davison Figueiredo, I'd be remiss. He looked great as well. And going up to bantamweight, Cody looked comfortable in the first round, and then Figueiredo got his ass on the ground. It was.
Cody's now
lost.
Saying he has vertigo.
From what?
He just said he was dealing with vertigo. Whatever, Cody. I mean,
it didn't look vertigo in the first round, but whatever.
Sure.
Your ass got subbed.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, you're not known for your ground game. It is what it is. And then Bobby Green, yeah. Bobby Green still got some of the best hands in the UFC.
Man does not pick his hands up and still manages to avoid damage for the most part. Jalen Turner murdered that man.
Yeah,
but,
turned his lights out. But
yeah, like murdered him. Like the referee was like never going to stop the fight. But Jim Miller was like, damn, I can't. Bobby Green still got something left, man. He's still a tough out for anybody in the lightweight division.
He
and
is
he still has a lot of fun fights.
The best type of gatekeeper. It's just.
Yeah.
Because he's going to bring it every time. And somebody might fuck around and find out. But even then, Jim Miller was tough as hell. Didn't get put out in that one either. I guess I still can't jump ahead to the announcements quite yet, because what's next for the people at the top of the card?
Well, I think Alex Pereira wanted to fight in Brazil. That ain't happening. He wants to fight a heavyweight. I don't think the UFC is going to allow that right now.
No, Dana didn't seem too keen on that.
No, he didn't, and for good reason, because it's like, come on, man. Like, you just got the light heavyweight title. You just defended it. Like, Yuri might have a rematch in there. Like, there's other fighters. Tom Aspinall's a giant, right? Like, Sergey Pavlovich is supposed to be fighting in Saudi Arabia. Like, what do we do with you? Now, that being said, if I was praying for a heavyweight, I'd be like, I'm interested, right? Because
yeah.
All the heavyweights, aside from John Jones, they stand and bang in Curtis Blaydes. They stand and bang. And that's what Alex Pereira does. And I feel like Alex would look comfortable at heavyweight. He wouldn't even look that too out
no.
of size. Aspinall's a big dude. But, I mean, if you want to roll the dice, and this is what this maniac wants to do, has already been a two-division champion, fuck it.
If Aspinall doesn't feel like waiting for John, then it's just like it's the best money fight he can get in that division.
I think Aspinall would beat Alex because he just put him on his back. Like, Tom Aspinall's ground game is pretty fucking nasty.
It is. And, but if he gets caught.
I mean, that's everybody. But I think
everybody.
Alex,
lights
I think,
out.
I think Tom would enter that fight and be like, I'm not striking with this dude.
Nah.
Let me close the distance. Let me put him on his back and let's finish this job. But Aspinall, yeah, if he did one, but it's like, who? Nobody knows what's going on with John. Like, nobody has a clue. And
he allegedly threatened a tester. But then I heard it was all in jest. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with John. But if you're Aspinall, you got to fight somebody. And it's like, am I defending the interim title? Like, what are we doing? Like, I'm the champ. That's how he feels.
Yeah.
He's got to fight somebody. I don't know if you necessarily want to fight a light heavyweight in your first title defense. I don't know
who else he would fight. I mean, and then to the credit, I don't know who Alex is going to fight.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Ankalaev?
That's probably the fight to make. It'll probably be Ankalaev because he has a completely different skill set at light heavyweight.
Yeah.
That Alex will have to deal with. That being said, I still think Alex sends him to the rent cycle, but
it's and going right back into the Yuri fight, even though I think Yuri deserves it, but running it right back again, I'm not sure. Yeah, like there's other matchups. I would, for any reason, if they're like, yo, Alex, we'll let you do the turnaround for Brazil. And fuck it. Don't even worry about defending a title. You're still champ. We'll figure this out. Him versus Cyril Gane at heavyweight?
That would be stupid.
So no takedowns, baby. No takedowns. And he's fresh. He took no damage. Alex knocked Jamahal Hill out with the second punch he threw.
I feel like that fight could happen if they really wanted it to happen, because Alex doesn't have to cut weight. He's moving up, right? So whatever he rehydrated to on Saturday, he can maintain that weight. Just does he really want to go back to training camp for like 2 weeks? The fight is like 2 weeks.
Yeah, because like Ciryl Gane, but yeah, and Ciryl Gane hasn't fought forever, but I'm assuming he's just fresh and been in the gym.
Yeah, the last time he did fight, he got subbed in a matter of minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did. He don't got to worry about that this time.
No.
It's a guy who's not as fresh as you who's going to stand and strike. Yeah. Stylistically, it's like, it's not a bad fight. It's just on short notice. But at heavyweight, you don't got to cut.
I almost forgot. Ciryl Gane did fight. He fought Spivak in September. So.
Oh, and he won.
Yeah, he won that fight. So he's been active. But I wouldn't mind the fight between Gane and Pereira at all.
Yeah. If it was like that card in June, like the Newark card.
Yeah.
I would say you could pull it off. Like if Brazil was in June. But like this one is really quick. But they're crazy, man. Like who knows? And Dana just throwing around money. You give Ciryl Gane enough money, it's like, fuck it. You want to fly down? People have done it on shorter notice.
Yep.
And you're not giving him like Curtis Blaydes, who's just going to fucking wrestle him.
No, you're giving him another kickboxer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would love that matchup if for any reason Alex is just like, yo, let me go. And then I'll rest. I'm going to rest anyway. Like, I'll rest after that fight. I took no damage.
No, I took no damage. I was ready for a 5-round fight. You gave me a 5-second fight. You know, now what?
Yeah, same difference. Then Wei Li Zhang's next opponent.
I mean, look, there's one woman in this division. It's Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right? Yeah. Like, it ain't Jessica Andrade. It ain't Virna Jandaroba. It's not Amanda Lemos. It is Tatiana Suarez.
Amanda Lemos is pretty good, but I don't really care to see.
We all anointed Tatiana Suarez years ago.
Years ago.
She got hurt and had to deal with all that shit. That is the fight you want to see, because how will Zhang deal with that kind of pressure? Because that woman's a monster in the weight class. That's the fight to make. There's no other fight to make.
That'll be on UFC 306. That'll be in the Sphere.
Yeah. If they pull the trigger on Suarez versus Zhang at the Sphere, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. And it'll be like third on that card, probably. But because they're going to stack that with like three title fights as well.
This is going to be Mexico's glory on that card.
Yeah, the whole damn way. And I love it. So that'd be one hell of a fight there. What's next for Max Holloway? I think we both agree. Ilia Topuria.
It's Topuria.
Can you get it in Spain? Is the question.
I mean, you should do everything in your power to get it to Spain. Max is the challenger, and he's the BMF champ. Why wouldn't you go to enemy territory and see if you could pull off the upset? Yeah.
But 90,000 people in that stadium.
That, I mean, Max has done it all, man. So, yeah, give him Topuria. Do it in Spain. If you can figure out the schematics and find a location, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, the location's pretty much set. You're going to Spain. You're playing where Barcelona plays. Like, they paraded Ilya around that stadium like 8 times now. Every time he goes to the soccer match, they just bring him and the belt out. And he just won that shit. So it's...
Wow. That scene would be insane.
Incredible. So that's somewhere. And shout out to Dana, who said he's looking to do UFC Africa finally. It's like 3 years too late, but it seems like it's in the works for some time. It won't be a pay-per-view.
He's going to do it. It's going to be Dricus du Plessis headlining.
I wouldn't mind that.
I would. I don't want no white boy. African card. No.
Fuck it. Throw an African on. If it's, I'd understand him.
I ain't trying to go to UFC apartheid.
Him and Izzy is probably going to be in Australia because that's always set up and everything. But if it could be in Africa, some rumble in the jungle type shit. You know how many M bombs is he gonna drop in that motherfucker?
You know how many race wars are gonna happen? Like between Northern and Southern Africa, and like, oh my god. Yeah, it's apartheid all over again.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. Usman will be on that card somewhere.
Yep.
There's enough to stack
that shit. They could absolutely do an Africa card. It's taking so long to do it. I know they're just really trying to find a venue that can hold it. So
that's the key.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And then the three announcements we have, I believe it starts with UFC 302, though. UFC 302, which is surprising. Islam Makhachev versus Dustin Poirier at the top now.
I mean, I'm not surprised by this. No. Like, there's no other opponent. Makhachev was insistent he was fighting June 1st. He was like, I'm fighting in June because I got to fight twice this year, at least.
Yeah.
There's nobody else available. They tried Tsarukyan. Tsarukyan's like, nah, dog, I'm not ready. There's nobody else. It's Dustin Poirier.
Which is crazy because now he lost to Gaethje. Gaethje could have just waited, got a title shot. And now he's looking as Poirier jumps him for a title shot.
And Poirier's in this really unique spot. Like, when he fought Khabib, I don't think anybody think he could beat him. He fought Oliveira, gave him a chance. Now he's just coming off a fight where people are like, if he doesn't beat Benoit Saint Denis, he should retire. And now he's in a title fight. Like, he waxes Saint Denis, and now he's in a title fight where pretty much there's no expectation for him to win. Like, the only pressure he has is the pressure he puts on himself.
Yeah,
because nobody thinks that he can beat Islam, and it's like the best situation for him. You get another. This is your third crack at the title. You're a fan favorite. Everybody loves you. The build is going to be tremendous for you. And you just go, it's a fuck it fight. Like, all right,
don't
best.
Don't go for the gilly.
He can't help himself. He can't help himself, man. He's got to go for the gilly.
No, don't do it. Don't do it, my guy. Just stay on the feet.
If he hit the gilly and won and sunk a gilly on Islam Makhachev, yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my God. That's perfect booking. That's like WWE booking, like if he was to do that shit. And then, outside of that, I think, 301 had, I was going to go to 302, excuse me, I was going to go to 303, but 302, the other fight, Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa.
That's, I mean, sure, whatever.
Strickland should run through Paulo Costa. But I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like,
Mickey Gall's on this card?
Sean Strickland's a tough one to figure out, man. Like, he beat Israel Adesanya, and I think we all were like, nobody saw it coming the way they did. Dricus Duplessis fight was very close.
Yeah.
But now you're in a fight with a guy who now we're expecting you to beat him. When 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we would have thought that Costa was going to murder Sean Strickland.
Yeah.
Like, the roles have flipped. I just wonder, considering that Strickland is not in a title fight, lost his last fight, where is he at? Like, is he going to be able to get up for this fight? Costa is.
Yeah.
I don't know about Sean.
I mean, this puts Costa, regardless of whatever just happened, it puts him in title contention again.
Yeah. 100%.
So, and that's a fight for Brazil. If for any reason Costa wins that, Costa's like, fuck it. I don't even want to, like, stay down here and wait. Give me Alex. Because Costa's big. Like, yo, let me move up. Let me get Alex. That's a Brazil fight. That'd be one hell of a fight. And then UFC 303 has one fight announced, right? One. For International Fight Week. And that's all we needed. Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler at 170. It's not the reports of, hey, we're going to have a 165-pound division. It's going to be for the first champion there. I wouldn't be against that, though. In terms of weight class, I wouldn't. These two shouldn't probably be the champions there. But whatever. I mean, it's one of those fights where Connor's back. He doesn't have to cut a ton of weight. I think 170 is his worst division that we've ever seen him in. 155 would be a lot better for him because cutting and making the other person cut and weakening their chin seems to be the way to go for Connor and landing the bomb to put people out. But I'm sure now he doesn't feel like cutting all that weight either. He just wants to get in there and beat up on somebody. Try to.
So my thing about this was, all right, so we heard, you know, rumors that this announcement was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And the announcement happens at a post-fight press conference while Dana White's talking. And he gets a crumpled up piece of paper and he just reads it like nothing. Right? Like it could have been anybody. It could have been like UFC fight night. Like Joaquin Buckley's going to fight in St. Louis. Like that's how I'm still blown away that there was no video package or announcement in the arena for this fight. Like it was so diminishing. Like this is your biggest star coming back. You have a video package ready for UFC 300 to make this announcement?
I'm sure you could have. Like, they were on Ultimate Fighter. They definitely have some video package somewhere.
It ain't hard to put a video package together of Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler.
No. It's already made. It has to be. Because that fight, they thought the Ultimate Fighter was going to lead directly into that fight. Yeah. So they've probably been sitting on it for a year and a half.
Why are you announcing this in a post-fight press conference at like 2 in the morning in the East Coast? Why are you not... Like, even, let's just say for some reason, you don't even have the video package ready, right? A full trailer for whatever reason. Dana shouldn't be announcing that 2-3 in the morning. Anakin them should announce it on the broadcast booth.
Yeah, just throw up a graphic, a static.
Yeah, give me anything.
They have faced off on the Ultimate Fighter and Connor mushed him.
Like, I don't understand. I was just blown away that this is the way that you announced the return of Conor McGregor. That caught me off guard.
It was pre-planned and produced, obviously, with the crumpled up paper. And, you know, I just think Dana thought he was witty.
What?
At the end of the day, there are cameras there. Maybe it's late. But on the broadcast, unless Dana records something to his liking, I don't think we're going to see another announcement any other way. It's either social media with Dana in front of the camera. It's a press conference with Dana in front of the camera. Or it's a video package during a pay-per-view with Dana in front of the camera. The anonymous just, let's throw this up there.
I mean,
those days are gone.
Do that. Like, Dana was there. Do that. Like, I just don't understand how you make this announcement at a press conference when majority of UFC fans, they're not watching that press conference, they're going to sleep. It's late.
Yeah. People call it next day for sure.
So the fight itself, which we've been long rumored, I just, sure. Okay.
Does it happen? Because people got to get their health.
It's happening. Unless like Chandler were to get hurt or Connor got hurt in training. It's happening. It's huge. It'll do bigger numbers than 300 because Connor's a star. They don't have to spend a lot of money. Well, they can't spend a lot of money because all the money's going to Connor. So they're just going to have to find a bunch of people who's like, hey, you want to fight? You're not getting pay-per-view points, but hey, you can fight on this card and get some exposure. The fight itself, it's Connor's perfect fight. Michael Chandler, as much as I like Chandler the fighter, his fight IQ is just, he kills me with his fight IQ. Like he could take Connor down, ground him out. There's so many things that he could do. And he's not going to do any of those things. He's going to stand and bang with Conor McGregor and probably get knocked out. That's probably what's going to happen.
Big chance of it.
It's what Chandler does. Like, he can't help himself. That is a guy who cannot help himself to fight the worst style fights ever. But at least it's finally happening, and we can move on. If Conor wins, I don't care what Max Holloway does, you book that BMF title fight. Because Conor ain't winning no other title except for the BMF title.
That's his third title? The BMF?
Yeah, you book him against Holloway for the BMF title. 170, though. Maybe not.
You think Holloway wouldn't?
He would. He's crazy enough.
There's no division for that. They could do a catchweight.
Yeah, we'll see.
It could be 65, 63.
It's crazy because this fight on paper, Michael Chandler should be the favorite. If he fought like he should, not like he does, like he should. He fights every fight like, I don't want to call him a dummy. It's just like, throwing hands ain't your thing. No. You're a really good wrestler. Why do you do this?
It's fun to throw hands, Dre.
I ain't fun getting knocked out.
No, but he likes the appeal of knocking someone out. And if you look at Connor, you'd be like, I've seen people knock him out.
I just, whatever. I mean, I hope it's a different kind of fight. I think it'll be a banger regardless. I think Chandler's going to come bring it. He's going to get a performance of the night bonus, even if he's laying flat on his face. But I'm glad they finally got this fight across the finish line. We don't have to – look, the running joke on Sirius is every time I come on, we got to talk about Conor McGregor. Because I hate it. Like, it drives me insane. Like, I don't want to talk about this guy every single week for a fight that wasn't happening.
Every week you're going to talk about Conor McGregor between now and June. Yeah.
I've got no choice but to talk about him. Yeah. It's funny, though, because it completely poo-pooed your idea several years ago that he was going to fight Dustin Poirier in less than a year after he broke his ankle.
Yeah, all bad.
It's been 3 years.
3 years. I could have been more wrong. That was horrible time.
And this guy is he lost all his prime years. I don't know what his desire to fight is at this point. Right? Like, not even his desire to fight.
It's not
his
money.
His desire to go through a training camp. That's always the hardest part. Any fighter will tell you that. It ain't the fight. It's going through 6 weeks of training, 8 weeks of training, cutting weight. All that shit ain't fun. Conor's got to do that. And Michael Chandler is doing it, and he knows in his mind that if he wins, he's a star. That's how he feels. Yeah. Even though, again, beating Conor is diminishing returns. But
a Conor win is huge because it opens up a world of possibility.
Because then you fight for the BMF title against Max Holloway.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to see that?
I mean, listen. Dana's done weirder shit. If Conor was to win at 170, what's to stop Dana from saying, yo, you get the winner of Bilal and Leon?
Fight for the BMF title. Stay away from that welterweight title for now. Fight for the BMF title.
There's no now. Because for any reason, if Shavkat gets his hands on that, there's no going back to that.
Well, that's
one. Leon is the only one. And Bilal. Stylistic matchups where you can throw Conor in there and be like, all right, he has a puncher's chance. Shavkat, you got shit.
Well, no, Shavkat's going to win the title. Like, we've all pretty much determined.
Once you get there, Shavkat's win.
Yeah, like.
And it's better if he beats Conor for any reason if Conor has that belt.
Yeah, but Leon's a tough out for Conor. Leon's really crafty in his striking.
Yeah. Right? But it's good for Leon if he beats Conor. That's some shit you put in the UK and print money.
I just don't think they're going to race. I don't think, of course, Dana does what he wants. I just don't think they're going to move Conor to that title fight. I think that
you got to race it quick because you only got him God knows how long.
It's going to be for the BMF title. It's going to be for the BMF title. There's so much money to be made between Max Holloway and Conor McGregor in a BMF title fight. Like, that trumps the Leon Edwards fight. It trumps any title fight.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, whether Conor wants to make history and if you give him the chance to.
Yeah, that's always.
Since Conor has, because no, logistically, you're right. And monetarily, you're right. Conor doesn't give a damn about making them money.
No, neither of those things.
And at this point, he doesn't care. Like, you can only offer him so much. You're not going to offer him Floyd money.
No, like a $300,000 bonus for Conor is like nickels. Like,
yeah, it's so couch. It's like, yo, I came back to have some fun, have some fights, and to make history. And to see if I can stack my legacy so people forget what the hell I did in the middle. So if I could steal a title, or at least a title shot, then yeah, I'm going to use my leverage to do so.
He'll find out if he still wants to do this. Like, the Chandler fight is going to be...
When the octagon door closes, and he's like, I really could have just fucking been on my yacht right now.
Like, I think he'll figure it out during training camp, when there's no backing out. Like, once he reaches that week before you start, like, the drastic weight cut wherever you're at, I think that's when Conor figures out if he wants to fight. Dr. Cage shuts, he's fine. I think
he's on autopilot.
Yeah, like, he's on autopilot unless, like, Michael Chandler has his back. And then he's like, oh, shit, do I really want to do this? But if he's in camp and he's, like, reaching those last few pounds and he's dragging ass to get to the gym and he'd rather drink Proper 12, yeah, then maybe he doesn't want to do this anymore. And they'll find out in the octagon that night. It all, we'll find out, like, Conor's going to say all the right things for fight week. He's going to say all the right things in every single interview that he does. He's going to make us believe that it's not about the money. It's about the desire and the burning desire to fight. Like, he's going to give us all that shit. And Chandler's going to say, I'm just going to knock him out. And they're going to find creative ways to promote this fight. Conor won't tell us anything until after the fight. Like, if he were to lose, maybe time to go home. But he'll find out his desire to fight about 10 days before the fight happens.
Yeah, well, we'll find that out shortly. Man, it's going to be one hell of a summer once we get past 301. Get past 301, business picks up between 302, the Saudi Arabia card, and 303. We're in for a stretch run in June.
Yeah, it's between this and boxing. My God, it's a lot. It's a lot going on.
It's a ton going on. So it's going to be fun combat sports summer. Plenty of shows left this week. We got to talk about boxing, Ryan Garcia, and whatever's happening there. He's fighting Devin Haney for better or worse this weekend. We'll talk about that fight and everything else in the world of boxing. We have like the 5v5 going down on June 1st. They just had a press conference. You and I went to a press conference for Masvidal, Nate Diaz, that Ryan Garcia also was at, that we got to talk about. Oh, and that entire card. And so, yeah, tons of boxing still to come this week. And pro wrestling, believe, previewing AEW pay-per-view.
Yep, Dynasty's this weekend.
Dynasty is this
weekend. Swerve versus Smojo.
Yeah, we have
it's a good card.
Yo, the ladder match, Danielson, Ospreay, like there's some bangers.
That card is loaded. And all we talked about last week was a damn tape that they shouldn't have shown. Like, just do your job. Like,
they did it to themselves.
Yeah.
Did it to themselves. So yeah, we'll see how all that plays out, man. It's gonna be one hell of a week. A lot of stuff to talk about. We appreciate you all. We're back on our normal rhythm. If you guys aren't on Patreon yet, make sure you guys jump on that. We'll find some time this week to do the Patreon show too. Honestly, it probably would have been out today. But I really didn't listen to all that hip hop shit. I don't know what's real, what's fake, what's AI. Yeah. We got to talk about all of that. But I honestly just didn't have time to dive into all the disses and make an informed take yet. I at least got to make a hot take. I didn't even listen enough to make a hot take. I haven't heard the Rick Ross shit. I haven't heard none of that. So going to put in that work so we can talk about that a little bit as well. So thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, keep it short and sweet. For myself, for the old man, Andres Hale. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.